Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Dear Christian friends, not everybody loves Christmas. I know. It's a really weird way to start out a Christmas Day sermon, isn't it? But it's true. Not everybody loves Christmas. And you can kind of understand why. Christmas is one of those times where everything just gets so intense. Tons of family show up. There is tons of preparation to do. Oh, and those gifts, right? All of those gifts. It can seem like a little bit much. It can get opulent and over the top and in your face sometimes. Especially if at this time of intense family's hard to come by. If when family does come around, there is the pain of regret and sorrow that often attaches to it. What if all of that opulence is just a reminder of the money that doesn't sit in the bank account this year? It makes it hard to do everything that we want to. Either that or we have to go deeper into the hole in order to do it. And maybe if there even is money, well then, there are other things as well, like sickness or death, that clings to us this year and kind of has this way of making all of the rest of it seem less sparkly, certainly less important. And then there are those who just peer through all of the thinly laid veneers that we have out there too. They see the family squabbles and the incessant posturing, how even things like gift giving can be turned into some strange way for us to one-up one another or gain position on each other. Well, there are some people who don't love Christmas. And I think it's because sometimes all of that window trapping can just get in the way of the real love that is on display on this day. So this morning, before we head out the doors to start doing whatever it is that we have planned for our day, let's pause for just a second. And think about those words of the age-old Christmas gospel from John chapter 1. And as we think about them, may we hear other words of John from his first letter whispering in the background. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for all of our sins. Listen again, the first half of our gospel lesson. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. John goes all the way back to the very beginning, doesn't he? He shows us the Word, the Son of God himself, present there with the Father and the Spirit who is hovering over the waters. For a brief, glimmering moment, everything is exactly as it should be. The triune God in all of his power and all of his glory shining out into the face of mankind itself. Everything is perfect. There is no pain. There is no sorrow, no regret or guilt. Just holiness and joy. God's perfect love. But it's only a brief moment. You see, Satan and his lackeys are not content with the glory of the angels. Instead, in their greed and in their pride, they reach out to grab hold of the glory of the Creator himself. Silly. It's foolish. Doomed from the very beginning, but it doesn't stop them anyway. When they fail, they set their sights on the crown of God's creation. Adam and Eve succumb to the twisted lies of Satan. And everything is plunged into darkness. The darkness of sin. You see, that's really where all of that stuff that we talked about earlier comes from. Our sinfulness. Though we like to try to blame it on God and say that somehow it's all his fault that all of this sprung into existence, it's not. It's us. In our sin that has plunged everything into this darkness that we so hate. Don't believe it? Turn on the news. Read a paper. Or listen to one of those countless rants that are going on in our world today that you and I too often take part in. Each one of us is a sinner. Do you hear it? Even in that whisper? This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. See, that's what we are. We're sinful through and through to the point where the Apostle Paul even tells the Romans that we are still enemies, but that's when this love is heightened all the more. Did you hear it? When we were enemies of God, he loves us. Love is an easy word to throw around, isn't it? The young man tells the young woman that he loves her, but it's not true. He's just trying to break down the walls of the sixth commandment and turn her into some kind of a conquest. And once done, he and his love will flee as quickly as they came. The world likes to tell us that it loves us and it can make all of our problems so much better if we just buy into all of the lies and all of the vice, chase after the power or the pleasure or the pride or whatever it might be. We soon find out it's fleeting. It's only there for a short time and then someone else always seems to come and snatch it away from us. But God is different. God has the solution for us. This is love. not that we love God, but that he loves us, and then goes so far as to prove it. He sends his one and only Son for us. Listen again to the way John put it in our gospel lesson. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In order to make us his own, he sends his Son. The Word becomes flesh. Now look, I have 4 kids of my own. And I'll tell you right now, you can't have a single one of them. I love every one of them just way too much to give up any of them for anything. But what does God do? He loves you. He loves you so much that he will give up his one and only Son to do what we so desperately need. And so in the fullness of time, God takes on flesh for you. God lives the perfect life that we simply never could, always following the will of his heavenly Father, never bowing to the temptations and the pleasures and the treasures of the world around him. He doesn't fall for the twisted lies of Satan. He's willing to make his way to the cross. He might be that perfect sacrifice for every one of our many sins. In his resurrection, in his ascension, God comes to each of us and he says, here it is, the proof of my amazing love for you. I was willing to give up my one and only Son so that you can have the assurance, promise, that you are going to be with me forever in heaven. And nothing can take that away. Not sin, not Satan, not even death itself. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for all of our sins. You know what's true? Not everybody loves all of this busyness that comes with Christmas. All of the window dressing can seem to some to be a rather large annoyance. But don't forget the real meaning of it all. The real reason that you and I can rejoice, even in a world full of sin around us. The real reason that this day is filled with so much joy and gladness. It's not because of the presents, not even because of the family, but rather God's love. And it's shown to us at Christmas, proved to us at Christmas. Yes, dear friends, this is God's love. May we always praise him for it. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, may it guard our hearts and our